It's the Ray Dalio Show on RT Radio 1.
That always makes me giggle. Good afternoon. How are you doing? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. And I think we could all do with a giggle today. Just listening to Shane there, Violent Storm, Force 11. And I know people are battening down the hatches in Cork and Kerry ahead of Storm Ellen. So I hope you're all minding yourselves down there. And do you know what? I think there's a heaviness in the air today. Like, the news isn't great and people confused about the new guidelines and trying to get their head around them. And I wasn't sure because I wasn't sure whether to say this, but I kind of felt sad last night as well. Myself and Pork went out for dinner in Dublin. It was our anniversary, and we actually had a gorgeous meal in one Pico restaurant. And the reason I went there was because we read out a tweet here last week from them saying that they reminding people they were open for business. They had availability Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we said, you know what, we'll go and treat ourselves. And we had a gorgeous meal. A big thank you to them. And walking back across Grafton Street, I mean, we were walking back about 9 o'clock, and it was just, I felt sad is the only way I can describe it, because I know it was a Tuesday night, but Dublin, that's always the thing about Dublin. You know, I've travelled to so many cities around the world where it only really comes alive at the weekend, but Dublin is always that city that was buzzing. There was always something to do every night of the week, and it just felt quiet. There was lots of restaurants closed and not a lot of people around, and I know that's the way it has to be. I know that is the way it has to be, but it doesn't make it any less sad. And I think it's worth remembering we are staycationing in different parts around Ireland, but a lot of people are out of the cities and working from home out of the cities, and offices empty. And it's just, I mean, as I said, I know it's the way it has to be, but it's a reminder that the cities, our cities are the lifeblood really for a lot of what we do. And thinking about everybody who's having a bit of a hard time in terms of business in the city centres, whether it's here or Cork or Galway or Limerick. So if and when we can support, let's do it, and let's do it safely. Anyway, yesterday we were talking about rainy day activities, and it seems they're even more relevant today. And someone had texted in to say they love playing Guess the Pop Song. So with Storm Ellen ruining some of our outdoor staycation fun, we thought it would be good to play Guess the Song live on the radio. So that's what we're going to do to try and keep us in good form and cheer us up. So we need two listeners to go head to head. And it doesn't matter. You can gather the family around the phone, around the mobile. If you're in a tent, if you're in the car, if you're at home, it might be a little distraction for a little while. And you know why it might be a lovely distraction? Because the prize that we have on offer today is a night away in one of the fanciest gaffs in Ireland, Ashford Castle in Cong in County Mayo. That is the prize for our Guess the Song competition. And Ashford is amazing. It's located on a 350-acre estate. There's falconry. You can go horse riding. You can go clay pigeon shooting. And you can take a look at all that. Ashfordcastle.com is the address. So basically, it's one night away in this 5-star hotel, you and a friend. You'll get a deluxe room with breakfast and dinner in the George V restaurant. So that is the prize, lads. So why not give it a go? It could be you, as they say. All you've got to do is listen to 10 seconds of a song and guess the name of the song. So, for example, we might play something like this.
Today is gonna be the day.
And that would be Wonderwall by Oasis. So we don't want the name of the band, we just want the name of the song. So I suppose the more heads you can get around the phone, the better the chance you have. So we're going to put two listeners, as I said, head to head, and it'll be five songs that you have to guess. And whoever gets the most right wins the night in Ashford Castle. So to enter the competition, give us a call now on 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And we'll do that competition just after 4 o'clock. So a bit of crack and get the brains ticking over on that one. 1850-715-900. What else did I notice? Yeah, Twitter gets a bad rap, doesn't it? For being a sort of a dark and dismal place a lot of the time. And then you read a tweet like this, which clearly reminds you that lots about Twitter is brilliant. Joe Heenahan tweeted today, "What's the pettiest reason you broke up with somebody? I broke up with the lassie once because she microwaved bacon." Which then, of course, I had to scroll through the thread for 20 minutes. And it was just so funny reading other people's reasons, petty reasons for breaking up with people. And some of them very justified, I would have to say, like this one. My cat didn't like him. That is fair game in my book. Somebody else said, he breathed really heavily through his nose while we watched a film at the cinema. And it was like sitting with bleeding Darth Vader. So he got the flick. This one I particularly liked. "I found mirrored sunglasses in his glove compartment while he went in for petrol. I was only 16 and they were equivalent to Crocs at the time." "Magic tricks in the bedroom, not a euphemism." Yeah, that has to go. Him or her, whoever it was. "Too many soft toys on the bed. She was 28. Loved this one as well. "She'd never heard of David Bowie. She was born in 1966. So she got the flick. "Getting from her house to mine needed two buses." "You lazy sod," is what I would say there. "You didn't deserve her." "I was once briefly going out with a girl who insisted on texting in capital letters. It felt like she was shouting at me all the time. I couldn't be dealing with it." And then my favourite probably, and definitely not too petty, completely justifiable. "He licked his lips before he kissed me." So I want to know the pettiest reason that you broke up with somebody. What was the lamest excuse you gave them? Maybe 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Also on Twitter today, Roisin Ingle from the Irish Times, she had this hugging poll up, which I thought was really interesting because we've been talking about hugs a lot, not just on this show, but certainly in conversations with my parents and friends and WhatsApp groups. Like, we all miss a hug, and it's becoming harder and harder. Certainly is for me anyway. I'm a real hugger, and that's why I was interested in this poll that Roisin was running. And 2.7%, so she was asking, have you hugged your friends recently? That was the poll. Yes, lots, said 2.7%. 20.7% said no, it's so irresponsible. And then it was a very close tie. Yes, a few close ones, 38.4%. No, but I don't judge, 38.2%. So I thought that was quite interesting. A lot of people, like, they were the biggest ratios, biggest percentages, 38.2 who don't hug, and then 38 said yes, a few close ones. And, you know, I can think back probably of three of my close friends that I've given a hug to, bar my husband and my child, since March. And it still kind of felt weird. It sort of felt wrong to be doing it. And that's why I just love the snuggles, with Ellie. God, because it gives you something, and it's just a lovely connection that I think a lot of us are missing. So where are you on the hugging stakes? Where's your head at when it comes to it? Who was the last person you hugged? Do you miss hugs? Or maybe you're one of those people who hates tactile people like me. I mean, I love hugging strangers. I just think that it's a kind of a lovely way to kind of break the ice with people. And there's nothing worse though when you go to hug somebody and it's that awkward moment where clearly you've got it all wrong and they don't want you coming anywhere near them. But let me know if you could give one person a hug, who would it be? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Also on good news, I want to wish Claire Byrne all the best. It's just been announced that she's got her new show here on RTE Radio 1. So massively well deserved. And she's going to be fantastic. Of course, she actually starts on Monday. And also to Sarah McInerney, she is staying in RTE, and which is brilliant. Again, so well deserved. She's done a fantastic job. And her position and her announcement is going to be coming in the next few weeks as well. So massive congratulations to her too. But, you know, fair play and a big one to Claire. And that is going to be such an asset to everybody here on Radio 1. And I also, in other good news, I want to say a massive thank you to a gorgeous lady called Muireann Ní Mhóran, who hand-delivered me some beautiful books, Os Gaeilge for Ellie, today here in RTE. And she wrote me the most beautiful letter. Catherine Okada Tá Súlagam go bhfuil tú go maith. Love the show and it's great to hear your positivity about Irish and your desire to use it more often. A good starting point may be with Ellie. Children love learning new words and different ways of saying things. To help you on your journey, I'm sending you some books to read together. Go nÉirí leat. And she met Ellie down in Dingle when we were on the road down there. Colleen Beog Aulín. So, and she's just sent me these like the most gorgeous baby books, Cunín Beog Bucht, and they're little square, colourful books. Another one, Colasava Cunín Beog, Sleep Well, Little Rabbit. I'm even delighted that I can translate the titles, and lovely counting ones as well with beautiful pictures. And it's just great to know that there's so many books Os Gaeilge for toddlers and stuff that we can learn together. So I am looking forward to getting stuck into those. And a massive thank you. That's just so thoughtful, and I really appreciate it. So we have lots of texts coming in here. Breakups. He ate. Oh, yeah. The petty reasons that you break up with somebody. He ate food off my plate. Was too much for somebody. White socks with black pants. Another reason to get some to get rid of somebody. I've sang in Ashford Castle on Valentine's night in the dungeon in much happier times. It is one of the most romantic places. There you go. You do not need another incentive to get involved in our competition today. She filled the kettle from the hot tap. A reason to break up with somebody. My God. I left the plastic on the sausages. They were bouncing off the plate. They were bouncing off the plate and he broke up with me over it. My petty reason, he didn't like watching movies with subtitles. Mary, nobody likes watching movies with subtitles. Anyway, keep them coming in. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. I think I'm kind of in the mood for a feel-good song. Irish music, Irish women. And this is particular favourite of mine. That is just the most wonderful cover of the Cranberries' Dreams, and that is by Irish Women in Harmony, some of the most fantastic voices that we have in this country at the moment, all harmonising together and just sounding magic. Love it. Somebody's complaining, Catherine, I can't get through. It's continuously engaged for the competition. Yes. Funnily enough, on a day like today, when we're offering a free night in Ashford Castle, the phone lines are hopping. So everything has lit up. And just if you want to try and get through again for our Guess the Song competition, the number is 1850-715-900. All you've got to do is come on, listen to about 10 seconds of a song and see can you name it and go head to head with another listener. So keep trying, listener, if you're having trouble getting through. But yes, we have had a lot of interest. Then we were talking about hugging. I'm single and I don't have kids and I love hugs. I miss them so much. So I hug trees instead. Now, you see, if I'd read that text about 6 weeks ago, I would have slightly sniggered probably under my breath about hugging trees. But a friend of mine had suggested that I do it and I would be quite cynical about stuff like that. And I have started hugging trees out for a walk with the dogs. Now, you try and do it when no one is looking at you because you do look a bit cray cray. But there is something quite soothing about it. And especially if it's a tree with leaves, there is something about connecting with it. And she also suggested, and I have done this as well, doing it without your shoes on. That's called grounding, when you're kind of feeling the energy from the ground and the eons. There is something wonderful about it. Don't knock it until you've tried it. So I'm with you with the hugging trees. Continue to do it, listener, because it does give you something. Somebody else says, I miss hugging my ma. Haven't had a hug or a kiss since lockdown started, as she would be vulnerable and I wouldn't risk it. But I've hugged and kissed her every day of my life before this. See, this is it. It's so, so tough for people. Barbara said, really wanted to hug my super postman this morning, who just told me he had to put his faithful dog to sleep. I'm so sad for him. And you see, this is what we do as Irish people. You know, an interaction like that, one line, and it really is, ah, come here to me, and you just make somebody feel slightly better. And that is what we're all missing, for sure. Jer says, I'd love to hug my mom. She passed away in November. I miss her so much. My daughter Claire, she headed off to Abu Dhabi on a career break for a couple of years, and what I would just do to have one last big hug. And that comes in from Marcella Purcell. And then we've got lots of other stuff coming in about breakups, the petty reasons why you break up with someone. She tipped her ash from the cigarette onto her plate after I cooked her a wonderful meal. Oh, I wouldn't feel one bit. That's not petty in my opinion. Somebody else, he lifted a milk bottle from the table, took a huge slug and left it back. I never got over the shock. Somebody else, I can't wait to hug my grandchildren who've returned from Australia and are in isolation until Friday. I can't wait. I mean, what a joyful reunion that is going to be. And the biggest hug. There is nothing like a hug from a grandparent if you're a grandchild. Lots more coming in there. So I will get to them. But let's take a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. We are going to go down to Dingle and say hello to Dr. Kevin Flannery, who's a marine biologist and director of Dingle Ocean World Aquarium. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good, Catherine. Good.
Lovely to chat to you. And I had the great fortune of getting down and into the aquarium when we were visiting Dingle, myself and Ellie. And it was a day. Now, I know you're bracing yourself down there for
a bit of a storm
that's on the way. Now, when we were down there, we got a couple of rainy days as well. Nothing like, I think, what you're experiencing at the moment. But it was lovely to get into the aquarium, and we'll talk about that in a sec. But how are you doing? What's the weather doing at the moment? And what's the form down there?
Well, there's a lot of people here, obviously. A lot of staycations, and they're more than welcome. And everybody is adhering to the regulations as good as possible, Catherine.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant that they're doing that. And they're all welcome. But it's a calm before a storm. We can see that it's beginning to build up in the south, and it's going to come through tonight. And the advice is, listen, tie down your dustbins, your everything else that's loose, the barbecues, put them all away safely, because these can be very dangerous tonight, because you're looking at the coast of Cork. They're in a red warning, and the coast of Kerry and all the way up along the west coast is a yellow warning. So we're going to have a severe gust of wind from around after 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock here. I think it's hitting us the worst part.
Okay, so are A boards still out, and are people's chairs and stuff still out, or is that all being taken in
they're
now?
They're all still out. And you know something, Catherine? It'll be a rocky night inside in the mobile home or a caravan or a camper van tonight. Or, so they want to go on the windward side of it tonight.
Or a tent. Can you imagine anyone in a tent tonight? I mean, obviously they've probably changed their plans at this point if they're down that neck of the woods, but
They would want to, Catherine, because in all honesty, this is a very strong blow, and it's coming through pretty strong from the southeast going southwest. So please, please, please listen to the people, and listen to the people who know the shoreline and the whole lot, and batten down the hatches, as they say.
As they say. And can I just ask you on that? Because with a camper van, I would not have known that, right? So we did a bit of wild camping, which is camping when you're not in a campsite. When you're talking about, it's probably good advice now to move anywhere away from a shoreline. And when you're, parking windward?
Windward, that is, we'll say, where go behind a building or somewhere safe where the wind won't be getting at you and won't turn you over. There's no point in camping down an inch beach or on the shoreline where people are, and a lot of people have been at the moment.
Yeah.
So move away from that. Move into the safety of where you have buildings where they can go on the windward side of it, that they won't get the impact of this very strong wind that is going to come through tonight.
Mm.
And that anything they have out, remove it, because it will get blown away and it will cause damage, not alone to you, but possibly to others.
Mm. And hopefully that message is getting out there. And if you are in a camper van and you have experience and you meet somebody like me who had no experience, make sure you go and you give them all the advice exactly like that. Move away, move into town, park up behind a building or wherever you can.
Can I ask people as well, Catherine, not to be going on the top of cliffs and getting these great selfies and doing the whole lot? Because when we get storms, you get silly people that think that it's great to get a great shot over the top of the cliff of Slayhead or Dunqueen or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
And the people, the volunteers in the Coast Guard and the lifeboat are people who put their life on the line. And we had another similar thing to what happened above in Galway and Thurbo yesterday, back here in Corcoran, where kids went out on the surfboard again and got washed out, and there was a major rescue operation, and thankfully they were returned safely. So for people not to be doing crazy and strange things during the storm for the next couple of days. After that, the storm will pass and there will have plenty of time to go along the shoreline.
And were those kids rescued by the RNLI as well?
The Coast Guard, Coast and Cliff were called out, and the helicopter was called out, but there was a local boatman. He was out there, and a guy went out on the surfboard and caught onto them and brought them near the shore by the time the Coast and Cliff arrived. But it was a major call out again, and these people are volunteers and they're doing their best. And the silliness of taking this kind of stuff to the shoreline when you have winds and when you have things, they're made for swimming pools, and that's where they should be left.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And listen, we the reason we were that I wanted to chat to you was actually all about jellyfish. And I know there'll be nobody swimming in waters down around you today, tonight. Everybody should stay out of the sea and all of that. But when we do, what we're doing and what we're loving in our staycation is actually getting into the sea. But the amount of jellyfish that is on in people's Instagram feed, making headlines. There's lots of jellyfish. There's been a huge influx of the dreaded lion's mane jellyfish, one on the beach in Port Marnock. And there seems to be thousands of them in just one stretch. So give us a little bit of background into these lion's mane jellies that come to Ireland at this time of the year.
Well, basically what's happening, I think, is that they have spawned in the Irish Sea. The Irish Sea has become synonymous with the lion's mane in the last number of years. And what happens is they have a very short lifespan. And basically, once they grow big, they're asexual, they release their eggs down at the bottom. And then in the month of May, April, May, all these little spores release. You know, like you have the dandelion. Mm. One will produce hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, up to thousands of these spores, and they grow into these lion's mane. And for some unknown reason, the Irish Sea seems to be, as I say, synonymous with the lion's mane, and they grow exceptionally large. They're one of the largest jellyfish in the world, but they're also very venomous. And the reason is they have these trailing tentacles that go out behind them, and they can be up to 30 metres long. And when you're out swimming, you could get wrapped around. Now, they're using these for catching prey and catching plankton and catching small fish, and they drag them in, and that's why they have the venom for survival. That's their means of catching food.
So, but you know, when they wash up on the beach then, is there still that sting in the tail even after a few days?
They still have these little arrows on these little trailing tentacles all the time. So if you touch them or handle them, you will get the sting, and you will get a severe sting. And for people with most of us nowadays, or most people, have very fragile skin, in the sense they wouldn't be as hardy as years ago when everybody was out in the sun and you had a farmer's tan and everybody was red or blue or whatever colour, brown. But nowadays, sensitive, and especially young children, people, would be very sensitive to the sting of these, and the sting can be quite severe. It's like falling into a whole heap of nettles, but the nettles sticking to you.
Okay. And if you do get stung, you know, there's that age-old myth that you have to pee on a sting to alleviate the pain. Is that an old wives' tale?
No. Peeing on them, you'd only do that way after. If you have hot water, you put hot water on the sting. But first of all, you remove the tentacles, get them off you as quick as possible, and wash them off. Usually, if you have vinegar is the best bet for it, or very warm water, very hot water, as hot as you can. Not scald the child or scald the person, but extremely hot water, and put it on it, and that will relieve the stinging as good as possible. Okay. After that, you will have to use a hydrocortisone or an antihistamine if it's severe. But the best thing of all, Catherine, is for people to avoid jellyfish, not to go playing with them, not to go in with them, and not to go swimming around them unless you're a masochist.
Which, let's face it, not many of us are. Kevin, it's always lovely to talk to you, and thank you so much again. And I can't recommend Ocean World and Dingle enough. And on a day like today, it was the perfect. And fair play to all your staff down there, the way you're managing the entrances in, and everyone doing their disinfecting and their hands. So you've got it all boxed off there. So fair play to you. We loved it.
Appreciate that, Catherine, and look forward to seeing many more people here.
Thanks a mil, Kevin.
Text 51551, The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yes, do text, but a lot of you are phoning today because the phone is ringing off the hook with our Ashford Castle competition. We've got a Guess the Song coming up after 4. And for those of you who are sending me messages that they can't get through, I'm sorry, but just keep trying. 1850 715 900 is the line to ring if you want to be in with a chance of winning that overnight for 2 with dinner in beautiful Ashford Castle in Cong. Now, last week, Kenneth Egan tweeted, "Happy birthday to me. 3,653 days sober. Recovery is possible. Take that first step one day at a time." And Kenneth Egan, the Olympic silver medalist, politician and councillor, is on the line. How are you doing, sir?
How are you, Catherine? How are you keeping?
I am well. Flying
good stuff.
And a happy belated birthday. That is amazing.
It's what's called an AA birthday, if you like.
Yeah.
10 years. Hard to believe.
How did it feel on the day?
Yeah.
How did it feel on the day?
I was a little anxious, to be honest with you. I was actually in England. I was over there with Eric Donovan. He was boxing on the Friday night. And it was obviously the day before the Thursday. But I kept it to myself over there. I was there for the week and I was just a little bit anxious that was coming up to me. Because it is a special milestone for me. Every year that I'm sober, it's a nice little touch. But to have the decade under your belt,
it's brilliant.
It's a nice feeling, yeah. It's something that I've worked very hard on. And to finally... Now, like Catherine, it's ongoing, though. It's not just 10 years and that's it. You start drinking again. It's just a milestone, but I'll just keep going now a day at a time, you know?
And is it still hard every day?
No, I'm not gonna tell you a lie. It's like I have a fantastic life now, a wife beyond my wildest dreams. And I'm not talking about material stuff here. I have a great family, I have a beautiful daughter that I love so much, and I have the simple things in life, you know. I have a roof over my head and a food on the table. But like some days I'd have a bad day, something could happen, someone could say something to me, and you know, I'd revert to that inner demon and think about drinking. But then I fast forward 10 days from my first drink and see where I'm at.
Yeah.
And it's horrendous and it's carnage and it's not me, you know, it's not me anymore. And I just check myself.
Yeah.
And I'm aware now, I'm very aware of what's going on in my head. So I understand that we get thoughts every day and I'm very aware of the negative thoughts and I register them and I just let them pass and I move on then with my day, you know?
Yeah. And before we focus on the good stuff and the positive stuff, can we go back? Because I want to ask you, like you spoke about it there, when you have that like moment, when you think about it, how bad was your drinking? Like how bad did it get?
Yeah, like there was times where I was a binge drinking alcoholic, so I would stay off for a number of weeks and months if I was training and competing. So I was burning the candle at both ends. But it finally caught up me when I was allowing less days to go back into shape before I stepped into the ring. I was cutting the corners too tight, if you like, and drinking those extra few days, and I wasn't giving myself the best opportunity to try and win a fight. You think it's madness even talking about it. I'm in one of the toughest sports in the world and I'm stepping into the ring to fight someone and I'm not giving myself the best possible chance because I'm drinking those extra few days.
Yeah.
But there was times where I'd drink for a week and a half, 2 weeks every day, nonstop. And, you know, I'd be in the same jeans for the 2 weeks. My face would be full of stubble and I'd be hiding from everyone, you know, trying to avoid people. That so if people didn't see me, I was okay. Once I was allowed to drink and I kept away from everyone, but I'd be urinating in my jeans and still wearing the same jeans and smelling that urine rising when I'm sitting at a bar. That's, you know, that's horrendous stuff. And that was after the Olympic Games. That's
me
known as Olympic silver medalist. Yeah. So, you know, it's horrendous, that horrible type of stuff. Now, thank God I didn't hurt anyone or harm anyone in me binges, physically, if you like. Or got into a car and drove a car drunk, or none of that type of stuff. So I'm really lucky in that sense that I got over. Okay, I destroyed a couple of relationships that I eventually did mend, thank God.
I was about to ask you because your friends and family, they must have been aware and so incredibly worried. And I suppose when you are just in that space, they don't matter. It's just, you know, you're so sick that you're just going to do what you're going to do. Like were they aware of the level of the binges?
They were, but when I was drinking, I'd avoid them at all costs. You know, I didn't really come home that much. When I did come home, I was at the end of the bender, and my mum would look at me, you know, and I'd be a different person. I'd have lost a lot of weight, wouldn't be eating properly.
Like, where would you stay for the couple of weeks? Would you just
friends' house, hotels, you know? All over the place. It was times when I jumped on airplanes as well and went over to Spain, and obviously New York was another one that was well documented. But just the stupid stuff, making silly decisions.
Did it get worse, Kenneth, after with the, like, there you are, you've got you're an Olympic medalist, and you know, the first medal since Michael Carruth, like, you were our hero, and the pressure that comes with that because you said it got worse afterwards. Was that huge pressure? Or
I think, looking back at it, I always had a problem with drinking. I really, really, I had a bad relationship with it, to the point where right back as far as I can remember, Catherine, I've never remembered going out drinking socially. And I started drinking at 14 or 15 years of age. So you can imagine, right through my career, I've drank to get drunk. So when I come back from the Games with the Olympic medal, like, that Olympic medal got me into recovery quicker because of the fashion I drank in. It was hell for leather, because in the back of my head, the devil on my shoulder was telling me, now you're after achieving something, now you can celebrate. Now let's go out now and let the hair down. I had no one to answer to, and I just went off the rails. And like I said, that medal got me in quicker. Whereas if I hadn't have won the medal, I'm probably just ended up as an Olympian, which is a fantastic thing. I could have come back and drank at a slower pace, but yeah, still ended up in AA much further down the line, lot after losing an awful lot more. You know,
that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I know in addiction therapy they say don't ask why the addiction, ask why the pain. And have you thought about, like, even, you know, when you're 13, 14, like, why have you thought about why you were drinking?
Like, I was introduced to alcohol at 13 or 14, and for me it was a way of connecting with people. And there was that and boxing. I started boxing at 8 years of age, and I loved boxing. I loved everything about it, and the making the friends and having fun in the gym. But outside of that, there was a disconnect. I didn't really socialise with people until, and it was just by chance, you bump into a couple of young lads and you end up drinking and you go drinking with them. And it was that immediate connection that I enjoyed how it made me feel. You know, and it allowed me be this other person that could socialise and have the crack and, you know, be this different person. And I always remember that connection. And that's what I thrived right through my life was, you know, that banter and that laugh and that drinking and the things. But obviously, the more I was drinking, the worse I was getting, the states I was getting into and the carnage around me, like the relationships that I'd broken, had to make amends and all those things. But, you know, that's what I'm doing on a daily basis now for the last 10 years is trying to help as many people as I can, as long as it's not interfering with my recovery.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know,
and so, as you say, you're trying to be that first step for, and I know you already have been for a lot of young guys and a lot of young girls. What was the first step for you to turn things around?
There was a few things happening. Like, obviously, I knew when I come back from the games and I was drinking the way I was drinking, it wasn't right. You know, I was letting an awful lot of people down. Like, there was kids at schools with banners with "Welcome Kenny" on, wrote all over them. And, you know, I never turned up and I'm sitting in town on a high stool. That type of stuff was very, very shameful on my behalf. And I had to make amends to all those people. But the penny really dropped. A lot of those things happened. But I went around to a friend of mine who lives around the corner in my mum's estate. And I knocked on his door. And I knew he was in AA a long time. He was sober 20 years. He brought me to the kitchen. And I said, "I think I need to go to a treatment centre." And he says, "No." He says, "Can I?" He says, "Just come to a meeting with me." And I says, "Yeah, but what if people see me and what if they recognise me?" Because again, it's that shame piece again, you know, what if people see me as inferior, you know? And he said, "Just come sit at the back of the room and we'll just listen." And I went to the meeting and I walked through the door and the first guy said to me, "How are you, Kenny? Having a cup of tea?" And I kind of just relaxed then. As soon as he offered me the cup of tea, I sat down and I just listened. And when I was listening to the stories, I related to nearly every one of them, Catherine, because I knew I was in the right place, you know? Grown men and women talking real talk. It's not the bullshit talk you have in pubs and high stools. This was real stuff. And I liked what I was hearing. And I was saying, you know what, I think I belong here. And I kept going back. And there was a few things. Like, I drank after. Like, I did drink. I was in AA for 3 months and I was sober. But you probably know, I went to Africa to build houses for some charity. And I ended up drinking on the last day, the going away party. And I drank for 2 weeks after that. And on the 12th of August, I stopped. You know, I was in Nice when my mum walked through the door. I don't know how she found me, but she walked through the pub doors and asked me to get into the car, and we didn't speak all the way home, and I never drank since. You know, but it was a number of things, like small things. My mum bringing me to the grave as well, on her knees, begging me to stop drinking. Like, the stuff that I brought my family through, they didn't deserve any of that. But at the time, I was blind to all what was happening around me. All I wanted to do was just escape. And that's what addiction is. It's a form of escapism from what's really going on. And once I accepted that, you know, and the first step is I was powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable. I had to step up and say, you know what, I need to change here.
And accepting is a big part of it. And can I ask you what you think of the word alcoholic?
Yeah, yeah. Like, for a long time, I still had shame around that, you know, because for me, an alcoholic slash means that you're inferior to someone else because you have this cloud over your head. But I have no problem now, because I've total acceptance to who I am. I have no problem standing up in an AA meeting and saying, "I'm Kenneth, I'm an alcoholic." I have no problem with it at all. And the thing is, if you look into it deeper, like, I have an allergy to alcohol. That's what I do say. I have an allergy to alcohol. When I drink, I do stupid things and I don't stop. I react in a manner that's not healthy when I'm associated with alcohol. So the only way I steer clear of it is, that allergy is, I don't go near it. I've no problem with people drinking, Catherine. Mm. People can go out and have their few pints and do whatever they want. I'm not against pubs. I'm not against off licenses. But just at the end of the day, people forget that alcohol is a drug.
Mm.
It's an actual drug, but it's sold across the counter. And it causes more havoc, in this, especially in this country, but across the world, than any other drug or all other drugs put together. There's 80 or 90 deaths a month are alcohol related in this country. So there needs to be an education piece around that in schools and in youth centres about alcohol and the dangers of it.
Mm.
Not just alcohol itself, but the actions of it around in a family system, even with abuse and broken homes and all those other things that come with alcohol. It's not just...
Mm.
The alcohol itself on the body, you know?
Yeah. And I did an interview a couple of weeks ago with Bryony Gordon, and she's spoken out about her problem and about her being an alcoholic and accepting it. And something that stuck with me and that got a big reaction here from people, particularly women, was that the couch had become her park bench. And I just thought that was a very evocative way of, you know, maybe how some people were drinking. And, you know, that old image that we have of an alcoholic sitting on a bench, you know, when we're just surrounded by it, and surrounded by it in the home, and surrounded by it, you know, in pubs and restaurants, as you say. You went on to study addiction. You now counsel people, and I know you do amazing work. And it's just brilliant, Kenneth, honestly, to be as outspoken as you are, and to be now in a position where you know and you've walked the walk. So, and as you say, it's not an easy day every day, and that's the message as well for people.
But like, I think, you know, like, because I'm around a long time now, and I have slipped, and I know what it's like, and I have good, I'm in a good place with recovery. Like, sometimes, and as bad as it sounds, and as bad as I come across, may sound to you now, but sometimes when I hear about someone slipping or someone coming into my therapy room with a bad addiction, like, I need to hear that, because that brings me back to where I was and reinforces what I have now is my golden egg, the sobriety that I have. Mm. And I never dare let that go. Like, I have a beautiful 4-year-old and a wife and a house and all that. They're all brilliant things to me, but my sobriety is what is the most important thing in my life. And if that goes, Catherine, everything else is gone.
Mm. Mm.
That's how important that is to me.
And that's it. And as you say, hold on to it. You're a legend.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that now. We're just,
you are.
I'm grateful. I'm very, very grateful for what I have in life now. And gratitude is a big thing. And I think that's lost in people sometimes, you know, when they're worrying about things, to just hone in on what you're grateful for, you know. And I'm very grateful for what I have achieved today, more so outside the ring than I have inside the ring. The medal is fantastic and it's a great achievement. And maybe when I'm 70 or 80 years of age, I'll tell the story about to my daughter about the Olympic success. But my biggest achievement today now is my sobriety a day at a time.
Kenneth Egan, a belated happy birthday to you again. It's a big one and it's an important one, and you are an absolute legend. Stay grateful. Thanks for chatting to me today.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Your breakup texts, lads, they're giving me life today. One wet evening after a warming whiskey, he spat the cloves out onto the floor of the pub. That was the end of him. Somebody else, when I saw the way he walked, seriously, the next date I pretended to be my identical twin sister and I blanked him. How can the way somebody walks? Oh yeah, actually, no, now that I think about it, it was a really dodgy one. Somebody else, I was once dumped for having an earring. We were both 50 and I've had it since I was 13. There you go. Keep them coming in. Carl Mullen is in studio. Good afternoon, sir.
How are you? How's it going?
I am fantastic. Your Go Outside and Play Local Adventures is the new series. It's the second series, which is on the RTE Player. Look at us with our travel shows.
I know. It's great. The two of us in the same room. It's like travel inception.
I'm telling you. I have to ask you, have you ever had to come up with a petty reason to break up with somebody?
I have a really good excuse out of this, in that my current girlfriend is my only girlfriend. I was single until I got with her, so I haven't ever had to break up.
What age are you, Carl?
I'm 30. So we
actually want to give you a hug for that, and I can't.
So I haven't ever had to make up an excuse. So hopefully I don't either.
Oh, hopefully not. Yeah, if she's listening. So come here, tell us about the idea of the show. I watched the first series last year. It's brilliant.
Thank you. There's
a slightly different twist on this one.
Yes. So the first series was basically trying to tap into the fact that, like, I was scrolling through Instagram one day and I started coming across these places going, where is that? Is that Iceland? Is that Canada? And it was in Ireland. It was a lake in Waterford called Cum Chinon Lake.
Beautiful.
And it is insane. It's unbelievable. And I couldn't believe that that was there in Ireland. I didn't know it ever existed. So the idea for the first series came from that. Just like, we should do a series about great places that you can go in Ireland.
You were ahead of the curve with all of us and our staycations. We're so, like, you were on the money last year.
It's worked out very well this year, yeah, in some ways. Then, so we went to kind of some hidden gems last year in the first series, but this year, kind of in the lead up to lockdown, when we were planning the new series, we started seeing places getting flooded with people. So we thought, maybe it's not the best idea to send people to specific locations. Maybe we should just come up with ideas to inspire people into an adventure. So rather than it being about the location, it's about the adventure. So that's what the new series is about. So we kind of say in the first episode, the idea is to watch the sunrise in one location and watch it set in another. So we watch the sunrise on Bull Island on the east coast of the country and watch it set in Doolin on the west, all on the same day. And it's all about tapping into the fact that we're so lucky. Ireland's so small.
Yeah.
It's great.
But I love that idea. I love that idea of you and your girlfriend or two mates sitting down and going, it's plotting these adventures. And that sunrise to sunset is brilliant. The 5 p.m., the 5 to 9.
5 to 9 adventure.
Love this.
So the idea with this one is to, you know, a lot of us work 9 to 5-ish jobs. And the idea is to turn your 9 to 5 on its head. So go on a 5 to 9 adventure. So fit in an adventure from when you finish work until you start work the following morning. So, for example, in the series, I go wild camping. I just heard you talking about it there. Definitely not a weekend to go wild camping.
Not tonight.
Yes, but it was absolutely gorgeous. It was a lovely experience. Now, it did rain when we were there, but it was, I don't know, maybe we're all just seeking out digital detoxes or something at the moment. But, like, if you want to get away from everything, it's a glorious way to do it.
And when you were wild camping, you were in the bag. Did you sleep? Did you pitch a tent?
We didn't.
You
no,
didn't?
Because we planned this during lockdown when the weather was glorious. So we thought, oh, great. But then when we got there, I used a bivy bag, yeah, which is essentially a waterproof layer for your sleeping bag. And it rained, but in fairness, the bivy bag did its job. It kept me dry. So
did you sleep?
That was the main thing. Yeah.
How productive were you at your 9 to 5 the next day?
Yeah, well, that was the lucky thing for me. I was able to go, this was work. Me sleeping out in the stars was work. Yeah,
It's brilliant. And then there's another sequence, follow a river.
Yeah, that happened when I was walking around in Tyman Park during lockdown, which is close to where I live. And I just crossed a river and I was like, I wonder where that thing goes. And went onto Google Maps and started following it. And turns out it's the River Poddle. So then that's another idea, is like, people might have a stream at the back of their house or something that they walk by every day. And the idea is maybe just follow it and see where it takes you.
Yeah, and I love it. And again, it's the idea of kind of looking to see locally, you know, what's an hour from the gaff, as opposed to maybe having to drive 4 hours across the country. It's even just imagining your own locale in a different way and exploring it.
That's it. And I guarantee anyone, no matter where you are in Ireland, if you go onto Google Maps or whatever it is and you start looking up, like, you know, unusual things to see, there are hundreds of things within an hour of where you are. Like, we're genuinely blessed to live somewhere like this.
So what's been your favourite place that you visited or the favourite thing you've done?
Oh God, it's very tough. I mean, in the first season, I have to say, Slieve League Cliffs were very impressive in Donegal. They're fab.
Amazing, yeah.
In this season, I'd never been to Doolin, and Doolin is stunning. It really is. And I didn't realise that the Cliffs of Moher, there's a walk that actually goes on for 20 kilometres. So we walked some of that. You'll see it in the first episode.
That's where we know that either.
Where we watched the sunset was a section of the Cliffs of Moher that, like, most people don't go to. Mm. So you can be completely on your own. It's nowhere near the visitor centre. And you can walk along the cliffs for about 20 kilometres. It's
amazing.
Fab. Yeah.
And come here, you have a love of travel, a bit like myself. You've been over to the States. You've travelled a fair bit. Has this lockdown, I mean, because as I said, you had started the first series of Go Outside and Play. And by the way, I love the title because every one of us have been kicked out the door. Get out, go outside and play. But do you miss foreign travel, or have you, know, I mean, I miss it. I absolutely miss it. And I cannot wait to go away. But it has made me appreciate taking holidays that I wouldn't have taken since I was 13. Like, we never went abroad when we were kids. Never. Like, we were always in Wexford, or we were always camping, or we'd but we'd never go abroad.
And that's it. And I, like everyone, I miss getting on a plane, I miss going on foreign holidays. But I think the world had become very small. And for me anyway, it came to summer, and it was an exercise in how far will my money take me? Because like, you know, air travel is so cheap, and Ireland was never even a consideration. Whereas this has kind of forced us all to go, oh, well, Ireland's the only option. And when it is the only option, you realise this is a really good option. There's some brilliant, brilliant holidays you can have here in Ireland, and it stands up to anywhere I've ever been. And I really do believe that.
Yeah. It'd be a great country if we could only roof it, though.
Listen, you know. But in fairness, days like this are
unusual. It makes us appreciate, like, everyone just goes, when the sun is shining, it's like,
the best whole country place in the world. Yeah.
Corey, you kept us all entertained during lockdown as well with your Instagram mentalness that was going on at home and tormenting your poor girlfriend and doing all sorts of stuff. How have you been since kind of lockdown? We don't know what's coming down the tracks in the next couple of weeks or the next couple of months, but how have you been? Because I know you've been you're broadcasting from home on 2FM.
Yeah.
So how have you been since the kind of restrictions were lifted?
Funny, I have to say, I'm like, lockdown in some ways for me, I started making these nonsense videos on Instagram because that was my way of coping. Genuinely, it was a way of going, okay, I can't deal with the news sometimes, so I just need to have a bit of a laugh. And luckily, other people seem to enjoy it as well. But since things have started to go slightly more back to normal, I'm missing routine. That's my big thing now, is the fact that, like, because I'm still working from home, you know, I don't have to drive by the gym every day and say, right, you need to go and work out. Or you take a break from the laptop for a few minutes and the first thing is going into the fridge and having a snack. And that's the stuff that I need to cut, because
it's hard.
So hard.
That kind of trying to, you know, differentiate your work life life when your work is just stuck beside your fridge.
Yes.
Anyway, it's a pleasure to chat to you. I'd love to chat to you more, but I'm running out of time. For people to go and get inspired, I highly recommend it. Go outside and play Local Adventures. Give it a watch on the RTE player. Carmel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anish Toshin, I'm the Prief Scalton, and Nuke Dilla Marion, Nihulawan. Gurmila Mahagut Marion, a lot of love coming in for Kenneth Egan. Brilliant interview with Kenny. The man is an inspiration. Keep going. Totally agree. Alcohol is a drug. It ruined my life. I let my family down and afraid to go out of the house. I'm okay, but life is not the same. I lost a lot of friends. Well, hopefully you've gotten some help. And if you haven't done so, please do so. And we're going to put up the we'll put up the helpline before the end of the show as well, and onto our website. And, you know, just even reiterating what Kenneth says, you can turn your life around, and it is absolutely worth keeping that to the forefront of your mind. Okay, we have two extremely excited contestants who are on the line. I am not going to lie to you. It was probably the busiest phone line in Ireland today, I think, to get on. But we have Tony Hartnett, who is somewhere between Ennis and Galway. Good afternoon, Tony.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I am flying it, sir. How are you doing?
Pretty good, yeah. I'm after arriving in Galway, so not too bad.
Right, now who are you with and where are you? You sound like you're in the car.
I mean, we're still in the car. I'm with my wife, Adrian, my son, Liam, and daughter, Kira.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Say hi.
Oh, happy days. So you're on staycation, are you?
We're on staycation, yeah. We left Killarney this morning. We're coming to Galway for a couple of days.
Okay. And what do the kids think at the staycation?
Kira thought it was boring. But it was pretty good overall. Yeah, the weather stayed with us, so we were not too bad.
All right. Well, listen, you're staying in a hotel near Salt Hill this evening, but you never know. For tomorrow, you could be in Ashford Castle. You'd have to leave the kids in the car and they'll be fine. Lock the door. I'm going to go to, hang on there, Tony. Maria O'Donoghue.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm very good. Where are you calling from, Maria?
Mead, Bettystown.
Betty's Town in Meath. And what's going on there today?
So I'm just finishing a bit of college work at the moment, finishing my thesis. So just on a study break and heard this on the radio, I thought I'd give it a go.
Give it a lash. And if you were to jet off to Ashford cross country tomorrow, who would you bring with you?
My parents.
Your parents? Okay.
Yeah.
You might have to pay for one more because it is just for two people. Or you might just leave them go themselves, would you?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, put you on the spot there. And I'm saying that if you could go tomorrow, obviously this is open to you to take the night whenever you want. So why don't we just get in? Do you want to wish each other good luck?
Good luck.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
Tony versus Maria. Tony, I'm going to start with you because you were a contestant number one. And I just want to say at this point, no gadgets, lads. If you're in the car now with your any sort of technology updates, you can use your brains, but not your phones to give you a help out with this. You can shout out the window to whoever passes by as well. I do not mind that, but no technology. Okay, Tony, what is the name of this song?
Take on me.
Woo! I love it. One of my favourite songs. And he was such a dish back in the day, Morten Harkett. Take on me. Aha. 1 point for Tony. Maria, take a deep breath. This is your first song.
Mamma Mia.
Yes, correct. We were kind of hoping that it'd take you longer. Myself and Niamh are dancing in here. You're getting them too quickly. Okay, so that's one all. Tony, here's your song.
The Swedish Thing.
Correct. And right, that is 2 points for you, Tony. Maria, here's one for you. It's an easy one, I think. Bum,
bum, ba-da-da. New York, New York.
Correct and right. Now, is it New York or is it New York, New York? Either
New
way.
York.
Niamh is giving it to you. That's absolutely fine. So that's 2 points each. Okay, for 3 points, Neil. Oh, for 3 points, Tony, what is this song?
Sweet Caroline.
Is right, me coming out with Neil Diamond. Okay, 3 points for you, Tony. It's going to be neck and neck if you get this one right. Maria, what is the name of this song?
Don't Stop Believing.
Yes, lads, yous are on fire. So you're neck and neck, three all. Tony, back to you. What is the name of this song by The Legend? Oh, come on, Tony. You were on a roll.
I know, it's Bruce Springsteen. I'm just trying to think.
Oh, quick. Gonna have to push you. No. Can't believe the 7-year-old and the 5-year-old in the car don't know it. 3, 2, 1, gone. No. That was Born to Run. Okay. That's all right. You are still on 3 points, Tony. Hang in there. Maria, back to you for 4 points. What is the name of this song?
The Edge of 17.
Is the wrong.
Oh, no, sorry.
I have to accept your first answer. Tony is smiling gleefully, even though he's going to pretend he's not. That is 3 points each, lads. You are neck and neck. That was the Eye of the Tiger, Survivor. Okay. This is the last opportunity, Tony. This is the last song. What is the name of this song?
The Real Thing.
It's the wrong answer. Oh, Tony. That is Young Hearts by Candy Station. Sorry. Young Hearts, Run Free. Oh, I had to get it right there. Niamh is correcting me. It was Young Hearts. Okay, so that means you are still on 3 points. If you get this one right, Maria, you are the winner. If not, we're going to go to a tiebreaker. This is your fifth and final song.
Everywhere.
Woo! We have a winner.
Well done, Maria.
Thank you.
Well done, Tony. Fair play to you. You started so well, and well done to everybody, to Liam and Kira in the car, and to wife Adrian. You don't get to go to Ashford Castle, but do you know what you do get?
I don't know.
A Ray D'Arcy Show mug.
Yay!
Not to be sniffed at.
It's not the business at all.
And apparently tea tastes better out of the mug than coffee. Just putting it out there.
All right,
lads, enjoy the rest of your staycation. Thanks a million, Tony, for entering.
Thanks,
Maria! Now, there you were studying, getting all your stuff together, and you've just won yourself a fabulous overnight in Ashford Castle for two people, deluxe room, breakfast, dinner in the award-winning George V restaurant. Are you going to make a decision now on who's going, or will we leave it with you?
I think I'll have to decide. I'll see what happens.
Oh,
thanks so much.
She's pulling out the parents. Pulling out the parents. Maria, listen, well done and enjoy it. Go and have a lovely time.
Thank you.
Well done. Let's get a bit of Dermot Kennedy. This is Giants. That is the brilliant Dermot Kennedy, Giants. And he has just released a new video for that today. So go and check it out. I just think he is absolutely brilliant. And to see his rise to meteoric fame has just been brilliant. Wanted to give you the website for Alcoholics Anonymous after my chat with Kenneth Egan. So it's alcoholicsanonymous.ie. And the number is 01842 0700. That's 01842 0700. And a lot of messages still coming in for him, and I just think he's brilliant how he's talking so honestly and openly, and how he just went back and educated himself, got a qualification, and is now helping others. We were doing a lot of talks about hugs. Catherine, I'm going mad without hugs. I'm thinking of getting some see-through ponchos to wear backwards. Hoods covering our faces while hugging my lovely friends. We're a huggy bunch. So it's so hard not to give them a squeeze on our socially distant walk, says Circa. Somebody else, I'm a nurse. I miss hugging my patients, especially now they can't have visitors. That's so tough as well. Lots more coming in, but I'm going to try and leave those. I'm going to get some breakup ones maybe after the break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
A year on from reaching the final of The Apprentice with Lord Sugar, Pamela Laird has had to be even more creative coping with the difficulties of COVID while building up her business. She joins me now. It is great to see you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited on this rainy day to come in. I'm delighted to be here.
It's still lashing out there,
is
it?
It's awful out there.
Listen, what a difference a year makes. We were chatting about it during the break. It has been over a year since you filmed The Apprentice.
That's right. So I filmed it in between kind of March and June of last year, and it didn't air till October, so I had to keep it a secret. But yeah, it's like over a year since I was quarantined in the UK filming a TV show. So it's wild
it's
to think
mental.
How long ago.
And for those people who don't watch The Apprentice, remind us what is your business and what was your experience on the show?
So my business is called Moxie Loves. It's a cosmetics brand. So we're available in kind of pharmacies, grocery, now in Boots as well, which is great. But I went on the show to get investment from Lord Sugar, who I think, we were the 15th year of The Apprentice. So you basically go through it as a business person. You're put to the task, like challenges, to try and get the £250,000 investment at the end.
And you obviously have to put your whole business plan, your figures, everything goes to the production team and then goes to him. So you're chosen as a finalist.
Yes, and you're grilled. So like I made it to the final five, which is when you get a chance to pitch your business, and totally grilled, torn apart, torn to shreds. And it was whittled down to the final three. So I was fired before the two girls made it to the final. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was sad, but it was great experience.
Such great experience and such testament to you as well, because we've got Dragon's Den here in Ireland, which is one thing, and you're dealing with a certain amount of numbers. But in the UK, that's a lot of competition.
Totally. I mean, I think 80,000 people had applied for it. So I just flew over thinking, oh, sure, I'll go to the audition, see what happens. And we had four rounds of auditions, and then they have to get it down to 16 people. So to be one of those and then to make it to the final three, I was absolutely thrilled.
So did it impact sales for you? So when you say you're in the beauty business, because I know you've got the makeup wipes, and but give us a kind of a sales pitch of what
I'll
you do.
I'll give you the sales pitch.
Give
so
me
basically,
the pitch.
We have like convenient cleansing solutions. So that's kind of our main thing. Really clever innovations is sort of our brief when we're coming up with a product, and it absolutely impacted the business. It just opened doors to the UK. It was incredible. You know, I launched a new product called the Dry Shampoo Sheet. So they're like eco-friendly dry shampoo, but for they don't leave any residue behind. They're amazing. And they sold out like online in one day. after I was fired. So literally that day we just completely sold out, like thousands.
In the UK?
Like online on our website. We just, because I was really critiqued on only having two products at the time. So Lord Sugar's business advisors tore me apart saying you only have two, you know. So I was like, by the time this airs I will have three, and that third one then sold out. So it was amazing, just like a fabulous opportunity for my business.
And how did you get to where you are today, Pamela? Like, was this something that started at the kitchen table, or how did you get into, how did Moxie Loves grow?
I guess kind of at the kitchen table. My mum has had a beauty salon since before I was born. So like beauty was sort of in my house. I went after school to her salon. So it was something I always loved. But yeah, I mean, there were boxes of products at home under the dining room table, the usual. It started really on an idea that I wanted my own brand. I knew that was like the section of beauty, the industry that I wanted to be in. And I just, mum just always supported me and encouraged me. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like my minimum order quantity is 60,000 units. She's like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. So totally, basically just went for it, like dived head in, and I'm thrilled. Like we launched in 2017 and now 2020 we're here, we're in Boots, we're on Amazon, we're in Primark, Penny's, Super Value, Dunn's, like all the dream listings for me.
That is amazing. Fair play to you. And how did lockdown impact you then? Well, obviously you've got something like Penny's that closes.
Yeah.
That's a big loss of earnings.
Absolutely. It was huge for us. I think I never really realised how heavily reliant we were on stores, because we're quite a low cost product. Like our prices are under 10 euro, like around 3.50. And I think it was hard for us to do well online. So I always made it my mission to get into convenience places like Penny's, all of that. But I never really looked at online properly. So it was really COVID that sort of put a fire under me. So we launched on Amazon, we launched onto Boots online. Then I made it my mission to get onto Super Value's website, you know, where people were shopping, because people weren't able to get to Penny's because they were closed.
How do you get to the person? Like, you're obviously working from home, maybe in your bed,
yeah,
and going, okay, I need to change. Penny's is closed. How do I get into Super Value? How do I get into Amazon? Like, you know, is it just navigating who to talk to?
Yeah. Like, it is that. It's straightforward, as in you look for the buyer, you go onto LinkedIn, or you might know someone who knows someone. You're like, please introduce me, please pass on an email address. Like, they say that's the hardest part, but actually getting the listing isn't the hardest part. It's getting your sale off the shelf. So getting the product to fly off the shelf or fly off online is actually the hardest part. So buyers will always take a punt on you if you have a product that they're interested in. It's just about getting the name of who it is.
Okay. And you were doing an awful lot of travel over to the UK then, yeah, obviously, because if you're trying to make a mark over there. So that's all stopped.
I know, I had such lovely plans this year, especially with the other candidates, like, because I lived with them for months, you know, and to not be able to see them, and you know, there was so much I'd planned. Especially, we launched into Boots I think the day before the UK went into lockdown, so we were in 350 stores and then they closed most of them, and that was it. So I planned to be there launching it, shouting about it. So it's definitely a completely different year for me.
Okay, okay. It's been a really hard time for so many people. And I remember reading your story. You were sick in March, and yeah, were you tested for COVID?
I laugh about this, and my mum always says, I was tested twice and I got three results. So I feel none the wiser, because unfortunately for me, I was tested in the early days. I think the government have done an amazing job since. They've really got the turnaround time of tests and results much better. Back then, I was tested early March, just as we locked down. I was quite sick, and I didn't get my results for 17 days. So I was living in my boyfriend's apartment, and his roommate tested positive and I tested negative. So they retested me again. It came back negative. And then they called me 5 days after that test and said, one of your tests was positive, but I could never get to the bottom of which one. So all I had to do was just quarantine. Yeah, that's all I could do, really.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a long, I don't think I was able to get out till May. Like, I was a good while.
And had you been living with your parents, or did you move in with your boyfriend because they had to cocoon? What happened there?
So no, I was sick like the day, I think it was just after Patrick's day. Yeah, I was sick and I thought, okay, I have to get out of my parents' house. Like, I can't be here around my dad, my mom. So I moved straight into my boyfriend's house, and then we were all sick, basically. So I mean, I guess we were together, so it was fine. We weren't alone. But yeah, I couldn't risk being around my parents without knowing.
Okay. Tell me about your dad.
Yeah. So my dad was diagnosed with dementia in 2016. So I guess we're so lucky, and we feel even more lucky to have him at home now than ever, especially with everything going on with some of the nursing homes. And it's been really hard. My mum, like, looks after him. She's his carer now, like 99% of the time. We cancelled any help that was coming in because we just couldn't risk it. You know, with everything that was going on, we thought people coming in from outside was such a risk. And then kind of it's been tough, but actually I was contacted by the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland and they asked me to come on board as an ambassador. And so it's been amazing just getting involved, seeing what the charity have to offer. And actually, I didn't realise my mum had taken on one of the courses that they'd offered last year, the carers course. So she found that extremely helpful, just that community of other people and families. And that's one thing that the Alzheimer's Society really recognised, the impact on the families. So there's not a huge amount you can do for the person suffering, but it's the families, it's that domino effect around the person that actually needs the most support sometimes. So the society really recognised that, which is brilliant.
And again, it's a dementia. It's not an illness that I know a whole lot about. One of our producers here is a friend of mine, Lisa Marie. Her dad has it. And again, just listening to her talk over the years, she's been really open about it. And it's just, there's so many different layers and there's so many, you know, from good days, good weeks, and how different family members cope with it and how stressful it can be, but how much you just want to have people at home as much as possible.
Yeah, I guess we are so lucky that he's at home. Yeah. And yeah, like every week is different. There can be a week where, you know, you think, oh gosh, like how are we going to manage? And then the day after that, it's different and the needs change constantly. And it's complex because it's not something that can be fixed. It's not a one size fits all either. So it is hard to kind of know what you might need at any one time. And my mum handles it really well. Like it's obviously her life is upside down. Mum and I would have been, you know, off in London together. We would have been out, you know, having lunch. And obviously that's different with COVID as well. But now someone has to be home all of the time. And yeah, it's really tough and demanding.
You sound like you get on incredibly well with your mum.
Yeah, we're like best friends. Honestly, the hardest part of being away was her. Like I only had 5 minutes once a week to talk to her on the phone when I was filming The Apprentice. And that like crushed me. I didn't know how I was going to get through it.
Yeah. Do you know what? We were upstairs and somebody was talking about her today and the fact that years ago in Terranure, which is where she had her salon, still has?
Yeah, yeah, it's still, there. She's taking time out with dad at the moment, so she's not back.
But yeah, this person's mom was extremely sick and used to go in and the thing that she loved to do was go in. And she said, your mom, Yvonne, and you actually were so good to her and minded them and made her feel really special.
That's so lovely to hear. That's so nice.
So she's doing good and she's minding herself. And
yeah, she is. I mean, look, she had to cocoon as well, really because of my dad. But yeah, like, it's just a lonely time. And I think just the having family around now that the restrictions were lifted slightly has been easier. You know, people visiting is always good when you're sort of stuck at home, because mum would have loved to work. You know, that was her thing. So, yeah, having to not do that for a time is probably very difficult for her.
OK. The website that people can go and have a look at, because you're doing a kind of a virtual walk.
Yes, this is the most
memorywalk.ie.
Yes, memorywalk.ie. So this is the first time the Alzheimer's Society have done this and it's going to be virtual. So you can do it in your own time, at your own pace, whether it's 5K, 10K, 15K, socially distant walk, unless it's with members of your family. You can go on to memorywalk.ie and they're looking to get 6,000 people sign up to raise €100,000.
Fabulous. Well, listen, we wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you.
And we wish your dad all the best. Give him a big hug.
Thank you.
And all the best with Moxie Loves. You're incredible and you're the brains and the beauty behind the beauty business. So lovely to chat to you today, Pamela. And that is all we've got time for. Mary Wilson is on the way with Drive Time. Enjoy the rest of this rainy afternoon.